words on the last verse.
You mean that as you sang it? More about the Lord Jesus on his throne. We saw that this morning. Riches in glory are all his own. More of his kingdom's sure increase. More of his coming, Prince of Peace. You mean that? All right. Then we'll talk more about it. More about Solomon and Sheba. That's what we're going to look at tonight. Back to 2 Samuel. Look first at 2 Samuel chapter 12. We'll look back there. I had such a good time this morning studying that story about Solomon and Sheba with you, and I believe some of you enjoyed it as well. I think so. I think the Lord blessed us, and I had such a good time, I just could not get it off my mind, and some of you came up afterwards and suggested some other things along those lines to me, and as I tried to rest this afternoon, and could not, for thought after thought pouring into my mind about Solomon and Sheba, more things, more scriptures kept being suggested to my mind and heart. I thought, well, we're just going to have to stay on that subject. And let's take that as, I hope that is a... This is a message from the Lord. 2 Samuel 12. Now, my wife and I were discussing at the dinner table Solomon and his life. She made the comment that if you just looked at Solomon and all his riches and all his pomp and show and all of that, you would think that doesn't fit a believer, does it? All of that just doesn't. That's not the way the believer lives and so forth. And this woman coming, all the people coming before him. This is why all the scriptures testify of Christ. Christ said, "They are they which testify of me." This is why everything that is written for the purpose of pointing us to Jesus Christ. Not to show us what a great man Solomon was, but to show us a greater than Solomon, whom Solomon represents. See, everything, every person, every place, everything has reference to Christ. Everything. If we had eyes to see and understood the mysteries, we'd see him in every line. People say we make too much of Christ. We bring him out of the... We don't bring him out enough. The Scripture says all. And in all. In all the Scripture. Christ preached and beginning at the law, the books of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, and expounded the things concerning himself. That's the whole Bible. Everything. Especially the lives of prominent persons in the Scripture. They're not written so that we might admire men. No way. But they're types of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already seen that. Adam, the first man, is one of the clearest types of craft. And we've seen Abel. He was a type of craft. Enoch, Noah, Shem, Abram, go on. Every man. We're going to see more. We're going to see Joseph, Isaac, types of Christ. These are why these stories were written. They are they which testify of me, Christ said. Solomon, his whole life, everything about the man, God recorded to show us Jesus Christ. That's the whole reason. Were he not a type of Christ, his life and his times would have no real purpose for us. We couldn't relate to that. All his pomp and his show and his riches and his honors and his glory, it must be a picture of Christ, or else his life would not be consistent with a believer, would it? Believers don't live like that. Right? Has to be a picture of Christ. All right, let's talk a little more about Solomon and Bathsheba. Two questions, if you're taking note, and a few points under each question. All right, who was this Solomon? Who was this man, Solomon? Look at 2 Samuel 12, verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. Now, there's no connection between the Queen of Sheba and Bathsheba. These names don't, no connection there. You know, there may be, but I haven't seen it. At any rate, don't get hung up there. David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son and called his name Solomon. The Lord loved him. Who was Solomon? The son of David. Son of the king. That's who Solomon was. The son of the greatest king that ever lived, King David. Son of David. That's who Solomon was. What's Christ called? What's his prophetic name? Son of David. Son of David. That's what the Jews knew who the Christ would be. That was his title. The Son of David, who shall ascend the throne of his father David. The Son of David. He's the Son of David in the flesh, actually. Son of a king. Yet the Son of God. The King. The King of glory. And Solomon, not only is the son of the king, Solomon was the heir to the throne. He's the one that David made king over his people and set him on the throne. David had other sons, but Solomon was the one. He was heir to the throne. And Jesus Christ is called the heir of all things. Son of the king, heir to the throne. Look at verse 25 there. And it says that David sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and Nathan the prophet came in and called his name Jedidiah. You know what that means? Beloved of the Lord. The beloved son. That's what Solomon, that's what the prophet called him, his name. Called his name Jesus, yeah. Call him Emmanuel. God with us. Beloved. Our Lord said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The only begotten, well beloved Son. Turn over to 2 Samuel 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Who was Solomon? He's the son of the king. He's the heir to the throne. He's the beloved of the Lord. And he's the son of promise. 2 Samuel 7, look at verse 12. Our Lord is speaking to David. And he says in verse 12, when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee. Here's that seed again we're hearing a lot about. Thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, I will establish his kingdom. Verse 14, I will be his father, he shall be my son. That's God talking about the son of David.
if he commit iniquity, I'll chasten him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the children of men.
Say, how does that apply to Christ? He was made sin for us. Right? He was made to appear as if he were us, the sinner that had committed sin, and God chastened him with a rod of men. The rod of justice. The stripes of the children of men. They're the ones that laid stripes on him. But it pleased the Lord to bruise our Son of David for us, who was made sin.
But, he said, my mercy, verse 15, shall not depart away from him. Oh, no. Look at look quickly at Psalm 89. Psalm 89. I thought of this passage immediately, thinking about the Son of David. Psalm 89. And keep your place back there in 2 Samuel. Psalm 89. Look at verse 4. Psalm 89, 4. Got it? The Lord is talking to David again. He says, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Think about it. Verse 29. His seed also will I make to endure forever, his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, they break my statutes, keep not my commandments, I will visit their transgression with a rod, their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take away from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter that which is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness, I won't lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever. His throne as the sun before me, established forever as the moon, and a faithful witness in the heaven. That's Christ, isn't it? He's the son of promise. And who is Solomon? He's the son of the king. He's the heir to the throne. He's the beloved of the Lord. He's the son of promise. He's the son of the fallen woman. We read that back there in 2 Samuel. What verse was it? It was 2 Samuel chapter 12. Yeah. That he was born of Bathsheba, a sinful woman. Right? Son of a fallen woman. Listen, Solomon's existence was because of sin. Right? Solomon came into this world because of one man's sin. Solomon was made flesh because of one man's sin. Do you see? Huh? Hi, Solomon. He was made flesh. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was numbered with the transgressors. He was made flesh. Why? Because of sin. Right? He was born of a woman. He was a sinful woman, yet he himself had no sin. There's where the type differs. Right? And the scripture says he was numbered with the transgressors. In Matthew chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 1, where it gives the lineage of the Son of David, of Christ himself, it lists Tamar, who was a harlot. It lists Rahab, who was a harlot. It lists Bathsheba. Sinful people. But he was numbered with the transgressors. That's who Solomon, he was born of a sinful mother. A sinful mother. And who is Solomon? Son of the king. He's the builder of the temple. Look back at 2 Samuel 7. It said that in verse 13. Our Lord said to David that his son, verse 13, shall build a house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. He shall build the house of God, the temple of God. One of these days I'm going to do a study on the temple, Solomon's temple, spiritualized. You think the tabernacle was something. We do a study on that temple, Solomon's temple. See, the temple, Deborah, eclipsed the tabernacle in all its glory. The temple, everything in it had purpose and meaning and pointed to Christ.
And it was John Bunyan, I think, that had page after page on Solomon's temple spiritualized. So I had to do a lot of reading to bring that to you, but it's glorious. I remember reading it years ago, and it's just glorious, a picture of Christ who is, or the church, which is the temple, and Christ who is Solomon, the builder of it, the builder of God's house. Who is Solomon? He's the wise judge over all. And all that he learned from his father David. I will show you that. Look at 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings, keep your place in 2 Samuel, all right? Keep your finger there. We'll keep coming back there. 1 Kings chapter 3. Look over there. Solomon was the wise judge over all the people. And look at 1 Kings chapter 3. Look at verse 25. You remember this story. You remember when the two harlots came into Solomon, and they both had children. They had both gave birth to children, and one of the children was smothered during the night. You remember that story? Both these women slept in the same bed, and one of the children was smothered. One of the ladies rolled over on top. I believe I know who it was. Rolled over on top of the child, and the child died, and they brought the living child to King Solomon to judge over them. And look at what they, and look at what happened here. And they both told their stories. And King, verse 25, Solomon said, verse 24, the king said, "Bring me a sword." They brought a sword before the king, verse 25, and the king said, "Divide the living child in two, cut him in half, cut her in half, give half to the one lady and half to the other." Then spake the woman whose the living child was, the real mother of the child, said, No, don't do that. Oh, my Lord, give her the living child. Give it to her. Don't slay it. Let it neither be mine nor that. Don't slay it, Lord, but let her have it." But the other one said, "No, let's divide the child." And the king answered and said, "No, give the child to the first woman. It's hers." And Israel, verse 28, heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king. They saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Now, where did he learn this? From his daddy. Let me show you. Second Samuel chapter 19. Solomon learned this judgment from his father. What he had seen his father do, that's what he did in this case. He said, "Seems to me," when they came with this child, "seems to me I remembered Daddy dealing with something like this. How'd he do it?" "Oh, yeah. I remember." Look at 2 Samuel 19. This is the story of Mephibosheth, who was fooled by that servant of David. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 20. Nine. The king said, now Mephibosheth didn't come up to see the king when King David came into town. He was lame, wasn't he? And I think it was Ziba, wasn't that his name? Yeah, Ziba. Ziba spoke evil against Mephibosheth and tried to make it look like Mephibosheth was a traitor to David. You remember that story? All right, look what happened here. In verse 29, "And the king said unto Mephibosheth, 'Let's not talk about this anymore. I have said it. You and Ziba divide the land.'" I don't know who's telling the truth. He knew. But King David said, "Both of you got a story to tell.
You just divide the land between you. Look what Mephibosheth said unto the king, verse 30. Lord, let him take it all. My lord, the king has come back. You're the one I want. Let him have this stuff. Who do you think David knew was in the right? Who do you think? What do you think he thought? Mephibosheth's the faithful one. Where did Solomon learn his wisdom? From his daddy. Listen to this. Listen. John chapter 5, verse 19. Listen to this. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. What things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Listen to this, I'm not through. It says, The Father hath judgeth, so doth the Son. The Father hath life in himself, given to the Son to have life in himself. The Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And the Father hath given him authority, the Son, to execute judgment also, because he's the Son of Man. He's the wise judge over all. That's who Solomon is, just like his daddy. Just like his daddy. Who is Solomon? Look at 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. Who is Solomon? Well, he is the slayer of the king's enemies. He's the one that put to death all the enemies of King David. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 5. Now, Joab appeared to be a faithful servant to David. At times he was. At first he was. But you know, John, later on, he was a sorry rascal. He slayed innocent blood. Joab did. And David's last charge to Solomon, look at verse 5. Thou knowest also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me and what he did to the two captains of the hosts of Israel, Abner the son of Ner. Remember when he slew Abner, that innocent man, went up and kissed him and slew him with a... And unto Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he slew and shed the blood of war in peace and put the blood of war upon his girdle as about his loin. Verse 6, Do therefore according to thy wisdom. Don't let his hoary head go down to the grave in peace. And stand later on, Solomon took Joab and killed him. Slew him. Read on. You remember Shimei? Remember that fellow that cussed David one day? He ain't going to get away with cussing. Oh, the king's merciful. King put off his judgment for a while, but you can count on it. You cuss the king, you're going to get killed. Right? Now or later. Look at it. Verse 8. Behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, Benjamite of Behurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swore to him by the Lord, I won't put you to death with a sword. I won't. But somebody will. Now therefore, hold him not guiltless. Thou art a wise man, knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. His hoary head, don't let it come to the grave without blood. Solomon took Shimei one day and slew him. And all the rest of the king's enemies slew him. Solomon is the slayer of the king's enemies. He's the slayer of our enemies, isn't he? A greater than Solomon, slayer of the king's enemies. Look at 1 Kings 4. Look over chapter 4. Who is this Solomon? Well, he's the protector of the people. Do you remember reading this morning? 1 Kings 4, look at verse 25. It says, Judah and Israel dwelt safely, confidently, every man under his vine. Whose vine? What vine? One vine. Under his vine. Solomon's vine. Under his fig tree. That bore fruit. From Dan to Beersheba. All the days of Solomon, everybody was safe. You see? Are greater than Solomon in all that? Do you see? He's the protector of the people. Who is Solomon? Solomon was greatest king ever. Look at verse 24. It says that he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river. On this side, the river, Stan. The river of death. On this side, the river, he hath dominion. The greater than Solomon. And even to Asa over all the kings. He's the Solomon. Who is Solomon? He's the king of kings.
That's who he is.
And he reigns over all on this side the river. And he has peace on all sides round about him. He has obtained peace. Our Solomon. Greatest king ever and the wisest. Look at verse 29. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much. Largeness of heart. Has a big heart. As the sand that's on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East Country. All the wisdom of Egypt. He's the wisest man to ever live. Do you see? A greater than Solomon and all that. Yeah. Lo, a greater than Solomon is here. And you're hearing about him tonight. We're not talking about Solomon tonight. We're not here in honor of Solomon. But in here in honor of a greater than Solomon. One more thing before we go. Solomon, the country that he reigned over was huge. Many cities. And Solomon appointed some men, some officers, over these cities, and to go down, and it says they prepared food for the king and for his people. They took care of to set the tables and fed the people and all that. You want to guess how many he had? 12. Look at verse 7. Solomon had 12 officers over all Israel. They provided victuals. Solomon just up in one day said, let's see, how many am I going to choose? I'm going to choose me out some men. They're going to feed the folks. How many? Let's see. 12 sounds like a good number. Sounds like a good number. I don't know where I came up with that, but 12. 12 choice men. All right, that's who Solomon is and more. Well, who is Sheba? Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 10 again. That's what we looked at this morning. 1 Kings 10, the story of Sheba. Who is Sheba? Well, we saw that she, first of all, was a woman. She was a woman. And women don't get aggravated because the scripture says this, that the woman is the weaker vessel. Right? That's what Peter said. The woman is the weaker vessel. This woman, she's a woman. Sheba was a woman. She was weak. And being a woman, flesh and blood, she was a sinner. Right? A sinful woman. A weak woman, a sinful woman. And she was nothing to Solomon. She was nothing to Solomon. Solomon had many women. What does he need, Stan? With one more. Huh? And I'm not poking fun at Solomon's sin. I'm trying to show you a picture here, a spiritual picture. What did he need with one more woman? He had 300 wives and 1,000 concubines. And here comes another one. King, there's a woman here to see you. Another one? I'll not have another one. Yes, he did. That was the way of Solomon. He loved women. The scripture says that he loved many strange women. Isn't that a picture of our Lord? You were a stranger and a pilgrim, Barbara Ross. But this great king with largeness of heart took another one in. There's Mary. Lydia, there's so on and so forth. Here comes Barbara. Another woman? Bring her in. Bring her in. I'll have audience with her. Our Lord takes in the weak, takes in the sinful. Our Lord is a friend of sinners. He's a lover of the unlovely. Didn't he say? You know, I bet you, I said this morning that Sheba had no promise of getting, that's not her name, Sheba. It didn't ever say her name. It's just queen. Her name's not important. But we call her Sheba. But I said this morning that she had no promise that she'd get a hearing with King Solomon. Did she, Bob? She heard about him. She said, I got to go see him and talk to him. She had no promise. He didn't invite her. But yeah, you know something? I bet you somebody said to her, somebody said, he won't have you. He won't have you. He's too great a king. He's too busy. I bet you somebody else said, I believe he will. I've heard that he will. I've heard he'll hear anybody comes to him. I've heard that anybody that comes to him, he will no wise cast out. Huh? And that's exactly what she found from Solomon. She came to him, no promise that he'd receive her. He said, come on in. Who's here? Queen of Sheba. Bring her in. But King, you've got some appointments here. King, you're on your way to an important meeting. He stopped what he was doing. Bring her in. I'll talk to her. Ah, boy. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, weak and sinful though we be, the king will take us in. And though we're just another weak and sinful person, the king will have audience with us. Who was Sheba? She was, though she was just a woman, she was queen. Just a sinful woman, yet she was a queen. She was just a woman who happened to be a queen. And we're sinners, yet. You know what I'm going to say next? Queen Nancy. Since we feel like a queen, you are to our Solomon. You're his queen. He's the king. You're his bride. That makes you queen. Sure. Kings and priests under our royal priesthood. You remember what he turned old Jacob's name into? Jacob means cheat. You know what he changed his name to? Israel. You know what that means? A prince with God. From a cheat to a prince. From a sinner to a son of God. From just an old, rotten, no good person to a king in the king's household. A prince. Who was Sheba? She was a seeker of Solomon. That's who she was. A woman, yet a queen. And a seeker. Somebody told her about Solomon. She heard of him with the hearing of the ear. And she had to see him for herself. Right? She came to see him. Though she was a woman, she came a great distance. We saw that this morning. And listen to this. Listen. You listen. You Sheba's you. She was just a woman. Weak, but she came. She was seeking after Solomon. I bet you she was married. I guarantee you she was married. There's no mention of her husband, is there? No mention. There's no mention that her husband had any interest whatsoever in Solomon. No. Whatsoever. But these things and these persons did not keep her from seeking after Solomon. Though she was weak, though she was sinful, though she was married and her family cared not for Solomon, it didn't keep her from seeking him. She came. She heard. She had to see him. She came. And I know, you know, being married, she probably was persecuted by her husband for going to see Solomon. You reckon? King Sheba, whoever he was, probably said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to Israel to see Solomon. All that way? Why?
I've got to see Solomon. I've heard about it. I've got to see him for myself. Well, what's that check you're writing? It's a gift for Solomon. That's too much. Honey, we can't afford that. Oh, dear, it ain't enough. I'd have to give it all from what I hear about this Solomon. And he probably persecuted her for spending so much time while she's gone. You were sure gone a long time. Where you been? Been with Solomon. Isn't a month long enough? Stayed gone too. 2 months. And probably got tired of hearing about this fellow Solomon when she got home. He says, Solomon, Solomon, Solomon. That's all I hear about these days. Then you got anybody better to talk about than Solomon? She said, no. If you saw him, you'd talk about him too. Yes, yes, ma'am. If she was married, that's what happened. I ain't making that up. If she was married, that's what happened. If you'd only, honey, if you'd come with me like I asked you to and you'd seen him like I saw him, you'd talk about him too. He's all that interests me from this day forward. She was a seeker of Solomon. You know what else? She was a seeker of Solomon. You know what else she was? She's a finder. She found him. She heard. She came. She saw. She believed. She was granted entrance, granted audience, communion with the greatest king on earth, a sight of his glory, a seat at his table, a partaker of his food, his blessing. She went away from that place knowing Solomon and admiring him, loving him. And it says that he shall become admired in all his saints. Do that. Say that in 2 Thessalonians. He shall become admired by all his saints. She left that place a knower and a lover of King Solomon. How about you, Shebas? How about you, Sheba Sheasley? Huh? Sheba Parks? Sheba Ross? Sheba Williams? Sheba Hodges? All you Shebas out there, you know him, you love him, you admire him. He your husband. Here's another thing about Sheba. Who was Sheba? And what happened to Sheba? Well, look at 1 Kings chapter 10. Look at verse 10. It says, verse 10, she gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices, very great store, and precious stone. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. She gave the biggest offering up to that point. I told you, her husband said, that's too much. We can't afford that. She was giving this to Solomon, he said. That's who she was giving it to, Solomon. After seeing his glory, after being so enamored with him, and seeing his beauty and his glory, and seeing the temple, and after Solomon told her about the temple, and all about it, the purpose of the temple, she wanted to contribute. She wanted to do something for the king and for this worthy cause. So she gave generously, sacrificially. Now, you think, what could she give to this king? You remember seeing what all he had? What could she contribute to this king? What could she do for him? You know, really, Roberta, it was the biggest that had ever been given, but he didn't need it, did he? What could she do? Well, she did what she could. She gave sacrificially, but let me tell you something. She went away richer than she came. Look at verse 13. King Solomon gave unto the queen Oh, wait a minute. She gave to him a big gift, did she now?
You ain't going to have gifts, Solomon.
Look at verse 13. The king Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all she desired, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. As a matter of fact, he gave her more than she asked for, more than she bargained for. Remember, she asked him many questions. It says he told her more than that. He knew what things she had need of even before she asked. And it says that he gave her whatever she asked and more beside. Beside that, he gave of her his royal bounty. She came with a few camels for gifts for Solomon. She went away with 5 wagon loads of goods and came home. Her husband, he didn't deride her for that, did he? Where have you been? Like Ruth, wasn't it? Whose field did you gleam in today? Boaz. Where have you been? I told you I was going to see Solomon. He's rich. And now we're rich. I'm rich. You'd be rich too if you knew him. He made me rich. I came home richer than I left. Well, what else about Sheba? I want you to turn to Hosea, okay? Now you need to see this. And I'll quit with these verses here in Hosea. The book of Hosea, right before the book of Jonah. Hosea, Jonah, right after the book of Daniel. Now, can you find it? I was doing that for my sake. I was trying to find it. Hosea, what about Sheba? Well, I believe Sheba went home a saved woman. Somebody asked me that today. Well, what about, you think Sheba was saved?
I'm just about positive of it. Well, why? What do you make you? Well, the Lord said it in Luke 11, didn't it? Remember reading that today? It said, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment against this evil generation. Right? Didn't he say that? He said that. And let me ask you this. Let me just ask you a question. What do you suppose that Solomon talked with her about for several days? Politics? When Solomon was taking Sheba, the queen of Sheba, into and see the temple and see the sacrifices going on, what do you reckon? What do you suppose that he talked to her about? Sheba, you live down there in Sheba, don't you? That's an idolatrous place. They worship a god after their own imagination. They don't worship the true and living God, the God of Israel. You know, there's one Lord and one God who reigns over all. There's not many, like they say down there. They're worshiping idols down there. They're works of men's hands. And you've been worshiping right along with them. There's one God, and you need to know Him. To know Him is to have eternal life. And Sheba is only one way to worship Him. And it's in the place that God has chosen. The way God has chosen. But without the... And on he went, Stan. Yes, he did. And told her, it's the blood, Sheba, that maketh atonement for the soul. God has told his people that from the beginning. What do you think this temple's all about? That we might impress everybody? No, it's a picture of the temple of God that's going to dwell with men. The tabernacle of God, God's Son, in whom is beauty and riches and honor and glory such as we've never seen before. Redeemer. Sheba, I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand on this earth at the latter day. And it's him, his blood, that we're making this sacrifice is all about. He's going to come and on he went. You reckon? What do you think he talked to her about?
He talked to her for several days about his God, about true worship, about the sacrifices she saw going on, about the temple, about her idols. Sheba, you can't worship an idol. The Lord our God's one God. Thou shalt have no other gods before thee. And Solomon communed with her concerning all things. He communed with her about his God, about his Christ, about her sin. Sheba, God's holy. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're sinners. We need a Savior. And we can't do it ourselves. Not by works of righteousness, which we do, Sheba. But it's going to be according to His mercy He saves us. His blood is going to be according to His Son. Our Savior, the Christ, the Messiah who's to come. Yes. Where did Solomon learn this from? His daddy. His father. Right? And he told her, did David know anything about the Redeemer? Solomon did too. And he, what did he talk to about? He talked to Sheba about him. About the truth. And she heard the truth. And the truth set her free from her idols. And she went away from there having heard from the very lips of Solomon himself about the one greater than Solomon. Rejoicing in God her Savior, a greater than Solomon. And she went away, Hosea 14. She went away from that place saying this. This is the very words out of her mouth. I guarantee it. Verse 8, she went away saying, what have I to do anymore with idols? I've heard him and observed him. Do you see? Did you see that? Let me read it again. What have I to do anymore? She was from an idol-worshiping place. She put away her idols. She's not going to go back down and worship idols now. Why? She heard Solomon. She observed Solomon. And I have to believe a greater than Solomon. A greater than Solomon. What have I to do anymore with idols? And that's what we say, isn't it? We can't hear of anything else. We can't have anything to do anymore with anything else, any idol worship. We've heard him and observed him. And nothing else will suffice, will it?
Huh? Let's sing a hymn in closing.
That this just fits perfectly with a message. Hymn number 329. 329. And I can picture Sheba sitting down before Solomon's throne there and oh, what hurt words she heard him say. Happy place, so near, so precious. Remember she said when it said that, she said, happy are the men who sit all the time at your feet. Happy are the people. Well, sitting at the feet of a greater than Solomon is a better place to be. Let's sing this in closing. Stand with me.